In this episode, I'm going to break down the role of social video and how it fits in your marketing strategy.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Heyo! What is up? A great week of video marketing has gone by, and I'm so excited to give you an update. You know, in a moment, I'm going to talk to you about the role of social video in your marketing strategy. We're going to do that, and it's going to be an interesting conversation, really based on how you can use video, put it into your social, and then build that all around your marketing strategy, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But first, you know, it's been a really interesting week around the office. You might know Colin Noonan, who's a member of our team. He's a frequent guest on the podcast. Colin is an inbound marketer. Everybody on the Wirebuzz staff, on their new hire intake form, it actually happens on the emergency contact form, but there's a list for them to fill out, and on there, one of the items is, what is your favorite birthday treat or something like that? What is your favorite birthday dessert or treat? And our boy Colin listed margaritas. So instead of having like cake and pie, everybody at the office got margaritas yesterday. Thank you, Colin. Way to think for the full team. So it turned into a little bit of a fun happy hour. And yours truly got to bartend, get some old bartending skills going. And that was a lot of fun yesterday. We've had this device that a client sent us. They actually sent us two large boxes. And when I say large, probably each one the size of a sofa. And it's been in the lobby of our office for maybe 4 months, dude, you think? Yeah, 4 months. And so it's kind of funny. Every time I'd show up at work, I'd be like, man, we got to get this thing out of here. We got to film this. But what we really needed was a sonographer. Do you have any idea what a sonographer is? They're the ones that do ultrasounds on the veins in the back of people's legs. And this was a device that would help them get better imaging. So we had a hard time locating a sonographer. Eventually we had to watch online sonographer techniques and then get somebody in our office to demo as a sonographer in the video. We cranked out that video. I'm going to put some images up. You'll love the studio that we filmed in, how everything looks. It just looks absolutely awesome. You'll find that on the show notes page for this episode. And today, a crew of, what, four, Christo, jumped on a big jet airliner a la Southwest going eastbound from Phoenix to Nashville, where Team Wirebuzz will be on location running a Facebook Live event for a very large company and also creating some videos for them. So that's all been going down. Oh, and then this might be the most interesting piece to the puzzle of what happened this week. You know, I signed a deal in 2013 with a very large hospital, and they paid in full in 2013. And then tick-tock, the years went by, and we found ourselves only in meetings with them about modifying and adjusting what we were going to do and what we were going to film. Well, guess what? This week, 2017, February, we're finally starting to shoot for this client. 4 years later, huge project. We're going to have crew. I even think, Christo, you're going to be on the road, right? Yep, Christo's going to be on the road for 2 full weeks with the crew as we knock down a video project that is 4 years in the making. You know what? Star Wars had a shorter production cycle than this hospital's videos. We're excited to get them going. And, you know, I'm just excited to wrap up this project and get them some really effective marketing videos. So cool. So cool. All right, it's been a busy week for Video Marketing Masters. Facebook's in the news, as you can imagine. Now, you may recall Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg recently told investors, quote, "I've said before that I see video as a mega trend on the same order as mobile." Now, just think about that for a moment. He looks at video as having the same social impact and significance as mobile. I mean, that's just remarkable, right? And then he goes on to say, quote, "That's why we're going to keep putting video first across all of our Facebook family of apps, making it easier for people to capture and share video in new ways." Well, this week, Facebook made good on that promise. Facebook launched a dedicated Facebook video app for TV sets. I accessed mine through Apple TV. And this means that the company's 1.86 billion users, Jesus, it seems like with every episode that number goes up, and I just am having a hard time imagining it because each week I'm reporting on a different number. You know, just a couple of episodes ago, I was telling you that Facebook was had 1.7 billion members that are using their site. And then about a week ago, it was 1.8, and I thought, wow, man, they're really climbing. And now I'm seeing 1.86 billion as of this week. And what they're doing is they've created an app that works through set-top boxes and sticks such as Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV, and the app is going to serve as a destination for all of the videos on Facebook, sort of like the video tab at the bottom of the main app. You know, the one that you use on your phone? Well, now you've got it already included inside of Apple TV. It's a separate app, and they're going to combine videos shared by your friends or pages that you follow. It's also going to have top live videos included around the world and videos that the app recommends based on your interest. Now, I don't know what that means, really, what based on your interest, but I bet it means on people that you follow or things that are related to what you're following. And Facebook users will be able to save videos from the regular Facebook app, right? Like if you're on your phone and you hit that save button, and then it'll automatically pull it into the Facebook video app for your TV, which you can watch when you're sitting in front of your TV later. Super, super cool. I've already set it up at home and the office, and the day it was released, yours truly was banging away on it at home to try to find out how you could use it for your business. So here's what I like about it. Here's what I think is a huge opportunity. There are people that are following your brand, your business, or if you're a thought leader, they're following you. And now what you've effectively become, because you can get into the individual that's watching or following you into their television, you could effectively be creating your own show and then distribute it out to anybody that follows you. It's actually really cool. And I'm sure a lot of this technology has been available and you can watch it through your mobile device. But being able to watch it on your TV is a really nice luxury. Give you an example. And I'm going to embarrass myself when I say this. But I'm a fan of the Great University of Arizona's men's basketball team, my alma mater. And at the end of every game, two of the biggest nerds, and I know that they're nerds because I've been reading their sports blog for a long time, but just this week when Apple TV rolled out that Facebook video app, I saw the guys that I've been listening to, or I've been reading, excuse me, and they've started doing like a Facebook live event at the end of every game where they break down the game. So I saw them for the first time, the biggest nerds I've ever seen. But good for them. They're explaining what happened in the game. They're catering to their audience and to their followers. You could be doing something similar in your business. Now, naturally, you most likely don't have a game that you're following, right? But look at me. I follow Facebook. I follow Google. I follow Twitter and Snapchat, and I explain to you what it means. I could be doing the same thing and then using that, like if I did my podcast and often we're doing Facebook live events around it, you could sit at home and watch my ugly mug talk about how to use these tactics for your own business, okay? And I'm sure you can then pick that up and apply it to what you do, but start catering to your audience and know that they can start passively watching it around the house or on their mobile device. Super cool. The Facebook video app now available in the Apple Store. Frequent listener to this podcast, Seattle's Bill Cooper, shot me a tweet this week that said, hey, at the Todd Hartley, Facebook adds Snapchat-like video feature to feeds. Sure enough, Bill, you are spot on, my man. The Orlando Sentinel reports that Facebook's going to automatically play video with sound if a person's device is not on silent mode. And though people can disable the sound in settings, the default change rolling out slowly to all of us and my mother amounts to a fundamental shift in the way Facebook presents video. Now, automatically playing video is one thing, but automatically playing sound is a decision that eventually Facebook's going to learn to regret. Now, I know this because I've watched the landscape over and over again, and if you study history, you know everything repeats itself. ESPN did this for years, and men like me, big macho guys that like sports, quickly discovered that we couldn't covertly browse sports news on ESPN while we're pretending to be at work. So ESPN's traffic really started going elsewhere where they could do their covert searching. And the same's true with Facebook. You know, when you're going through your Facebook feed and you're sitting at the conference table with other people in the office, and maybe you're at the head table, you know, at the head of the table, nobody knows what you're looking at. And if you start to go through and all of a sudden an autoplay video starts cranking out some background music or somebody's talking about their food recipe, it's a bit embarrassing. You know, ESPN's traffic suffered when they did that. Guys in cubicles all over the world they just wouldn't surf on ESPN. And every article they clicked on when they did had a video and it autoplayed. And then the world quickly found out and they would rush to hit their speaker's mute button, right? We all do this all day long. So I don't know why Facebook thinks it's a good idea. And then every time on ESPN that you would get the autoplay, you would be sending an instant reminder to yourself, damn it. Remember, ESPN instantly autoplays their video and the audio. And that constant reminder, that repetitious damn it ESPN over a long period of time conditions users to think of alternative websites to visit. And even if you're the gold standard for a topic, like ESPN has been for sports news, or let's say Facebook has been for social media, that constant irritation caused by autoplay will have long-term lasting effects. I used to say every time I'd go to ESPN, why do they hate their audience? Because all they're doing is creating friction between the audience. And with your video strategy, I always want you to mitigate friction and just provide value and allow the user to be in control of that value. Also new in Facebooklandia is the ability to minimize videos while browsing. Have you seen this already? So you're looking at a video on your phone. Christo, have you seen this? Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah. You keep watching your video, right?
So as you're watching a video through your feed, and if you keep going, it'll pop that video up and kind of drop it down into the bottom right corner, and it allows you to continue to watch that video. Now, that means that users get the equivalent of a picture-in-picture experience, watching videos while simultaneously scrolling through their friends' updates on Facebook. So let's talk about this. Why is this important? This new Facebook feature means that viewers can watch their videos at the same time and continue to surf through the newsfeed. In a world that's dominated by multitasking, and I'm like a juggling circus clown freak, I multitask all day long. So anytime your users can do two activities at one time, like watching video and browsing the newsfeed, or using Messenger while browsing the newsfeed, it's a good thing for users who deep down inside each and every one of us crave the two most important F words in user experience. You know what those are? Freedom and flexibility. And the more you build that into your UI, the better off your audience will be, the more they can use it just like they live. Got it? Cool. Sarah Fisher in Axios did a really good job adding this. She said, Facebook's really scrambling to optimize its video viewing experience, enabling their tool to increase the competitiveness of their video advertising in its ad auction and to compete with other platforms to win video advertising dollars. Really, the reason Facebook had to do this, it all goes back to the numbers, to the money, is they're going to be charging advertisers for how long people stay on that user, on that video, what their user experience is like, you know, for time. So if you can separate the video from the newsfeed, people can continue to watch the video and then while going through their newsfeed, win-win for Facebook, right? Because now they've got larger numbers than they could substantiate before, and then they can go and ask for larger ad budgets. It's actually pretty smart, don't you think? Hey, if you want to follow Bill Cooper, who tipped me off about this news story, you can find him on Twitter by searching for his handle at Digital Farm. And Bill, thank you so much, man, for always keeping me up to speed. Are you watching the political revolution that's playing out in Washington, D.C.? It's actually really kind of fascinating. Well, if you're a digital media fan, which I suspect you are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to find this pretty interesting. Julian Assange, do you know who he is? He's the founder of WikiLeaks. Well, Assange called the back and forth between the Trump White House and the U.S. intelligence agency Wednesday a, quote, an amazing battle for dominance is playing out between the elected U.S. government and the IC, which is the intelligence community, who considers themselves to be the permanent government. Super interesting. This might be one of those stories that is so contagious you can't stop watching it. And it's all playing out because of the power of digital, right? Because of how digital impacts and influences. And I was watching House of Cards. You know, I'm a House of Cards fan, and I know we're just about coming up to the next season. I usually crush a House of Cards season like in the first month that it releases. And when I watched a year ago the most recent season, they had basically an Ed Snowden character and a Julian Assange WikiLeaks character and somebody that was like Eric Schmidt from Google. And as I was watching that season, I kept thinking, and this is before the presidential election, I kept thinking, man, this show's really jumped the shark. There's no way that search engines and social networks are going to scheme the voters, and there's absolutely no way that all of this would be leaks and hacks, and it'll change the election. Well, sure enough, House of Cards played out to be pretty spot on. You know, as a former member of the media, the mainstream media, when I look at the impact of leaked information released by WikiLeaks and what it had on the election and Ed Snowden's revelations of the deep state monitoring of U.S. citizens right through our computers and our second devices, these aren't small election year news stories. They're probably, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, these will probably go down as two of the biggest stories of our time. And when new truthful information gets released to the public, the most transparent thing ever is how our government handles it, right? Regardless of which party is in power, our leadership's first instincts seem to always be to hide and be deceptive to the people. And that's a really big problem. It's going to be interesting to watch how this whole thing plays out. You know, I saw this week that 61% of Snapchat's content that's posted by brands are video. Pretty amazing. 61% of that content is video. And this is a 5% increase from the first quarter of 2016, one full year ago. You know, the adoption continues to increase. And then in the same Advanced Television article, which you can get on the show notes page, I saw this in the next paragraph, a totally worthless Snapchat stat. Let's talk about it for a moment. Video marketers will really appreciate that. It said, video completion rates on Snapchat, or the number of people viewing the whole story, climbed to 88% compared to 84% the previous quarter. Look, we're talking about a 10-second video. You know, if somebody watches a full 10 seconds of your video, it's significantly less important than somebody watching 2 minutes of a video on your website. You understand that, right? And what I want you to understand is that this data focuses only on video completion rates, not conversion. So for anybody that judges the effectiveness of their marketing, like I do, about and having it based on ROI, that Snapchat completion story is worthless. You can't do anything, can't take it to the bank. And at Wirebuzz, we continue to fight the good fight where video length is considered. You know, shorter is not always better. And we discuss in episode 14 of this podcast what the right length of a video is. And you can access that episode by simply going to wirebuzz.com/14. An easy way to remember 14 is the greatest baseball hitter of all time, Peter Edward Rose, rocked the number 14 on the back of his jersey, and it'll never see the glory of the Hall of Fame. In fact, we often encounter this topic of video length when setting up ad campaigns for our clients. almost every time we've set up an ad campaign, we've created two versions of the video. Version one is a 30-second version. Version two is a 2-minute version. And then what do? Well, we're marketers. We run A-B tests. We run them in head-to-head competition to prove which one's more effective. We question every assumption. And 9 times out of 10, the longer video works better. Shorter videos, of course, they have higher completion rates and lower cost per views. But the longer videos get more conversion at a lower cost. Does that make sense to all of you? All right. So the question is, do you want views or do you want sales? I mean, the answer is kind of easy for me. If you want views, create shorter videos. If you want sales, create videos that are long enough to communicate your message. Assuming your video is well-produced, the buyer will stick around and they'll convert. Hey, Mashable had a really interesting story about Twitter. I'll get to that in a moment. To those at Mashable, dude, I don't know what's going on with you guys. Used to be a really good tech site. Now almost all of your articles are political pandering and hack jobs. Let's get back to tech. It's so much more interesting. And in Mashable this week, they wrote that Twitter has created a top videos for you section that shows videos that Twitter believes the users may enjoy. The videos are going to play automatically, and unlike Facebook, they're going to play without sound as you hover over them. And this was confirmed this week by a Twitter spokesperson. Now, a couple of days ago, I was walking through the office and I overheard a handful of project managers really close to Christo's desk raving about how YouTube and its automatic closed captioning transcription service nailed a very complicated transcription that we were doing for a medical client of ours. And they perfectly transcribed the following words: gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma. Now, that's not easy for me to say. It's not easy for a robot to be able to transcribe. As a guy with dyslexia and ADD, I assure you I would never nail that on a spelling bee. And in the next sentence, YouTube, its transcription service, totally botched the transcription for the doctor's name. Win some, lose some, a very significant stride forward. And it's great to see, you know, over my career, it used to be a laughable joke, but it stopped me in my tracks when I heard people raving about how intricate that closed captioning transcription service at YouTube has gotten itself over the years. Now, TechCrunch is reporting, quote, when Google rolled out its automatic captioning service for YouTube back in 2009, the results were far from great. Google is now quite good at making videos accessible to the deaf and the hearing impaired, end quote from TechCrunch. Look, when I read that, Google is now good at making videos accessible to the deaf and the hearing impaired, you know, it just really struck me, because whenever Google says it's doing something to make their information more accessible to some type of population like the deaf or the hearing impaired, please know that's 100% marketing speak. Now, how do I know? Well, I'm totally cynical at this point in my life. But the reason is I've been following this for quite some time. I used to host a podcast called Where's Google Going? And How to Align Your Business to Profit from Google's Direction. And I'm a huge Google geek, because Google is the biggest ship in the river of digital. And if I align my business principles and I understand fundamentally where Google's going, I can leapfrog forward and grow at faster and faster rates. Google originally ventured off in automatic captioning, not because of what TechCrunch said, but because they were trying to figure out what was being said in the videos, you know, so they could index those videos more accurately for search results. It had nothing to do with the blind or the hearing impaired. Google is a really smart robot, but it can't read video. Got it? And then some marketing person got the brilliant idea of saying that this was for the deaf and the hearing impaired. Very nice marketing wrapper that gets put around with a big, nice bow, but really it was all about indexing. TechCrunch also reported, quote, YouTube has now captioned 1 billion videos, and people watch videos with captions 15 million times a day. That's really remarkable. I saw recently in the most recent study on this that by adding the closed captioning, to your videos on YouTube, you increase the overall lifetime views by 13 to 14%. That's significant if you think about those videos like we do. In generating ROI, you get a bigger impact when you use the closed captioning system. We always recommend that if you use the closed captioning system, send somebody through there that can proofread and make sure everything's accurate, because Lord knows the YouTube closed captioning system is going to get you there, but not all the way. Google says that the service is getting closer and closer to human transcription error rates, and that all the various improvements that the company's made over the years have led to a 50% increase in accuracy. The wide variety of content on YouTube obviously makes it hard to caption everything, but it also offers the company with a wide range of training data. You see, when the YouTube community reviews and edits these automatic captions, that information then flows back into that machine learning process to make the system that they use much more accurate. And it's kind of like the human interaction feeds back into the machine, which optimizes the output going forward. Another cool thing that you may not know is the service's automatic captions currently support 10 languages, which is pretty macho. It's now become a foregone conclusion. If you want to be successful with your audience, you have to be using video. And that's why with every new episode of this podcast, there's another major brand jumping headfirst into becoming, well, you guessed it, video first. There's a reason why earlier in this episode, I told you that Facebook Zuckerberg said that he sees video as a megatrend on the same order as mobile. And the reason is video is the most powerful tool for engaging your site visitors. That's why people spend twice as long on a website that has video than websites that don't. And coming full circle here, the dating app Tinder has bought the video app startup called Wheel. Now, everybody needs video in order to survive in this rapidly changing digital landscape. Even people that are single, looking for love in all the right places on Tinder. You know, people really don't read anymore. You don't, I don't. And how we consume information is rapidly evolving. So you have to communicate through the content type that people prefer, and that's video. And even if you're on a dating site, video is still the king of content. It's the top of the ladder, you know, the top of the food chain, man. And Tinder is starting to do that. And that's why Tinder bought Wheel's signature product, and why they're using it in their app to allow users to create video-based stories, not unlike what you would see on Snapchat, on Instagram, and even more on Facebook. You know, Tinder's planning to integrate those videos into its own app, and this is according to an article that I read in Variety this week. It's another way to make Tinder take up more of your time as users' attention continues to be divided on that smartphone. So really what they're trying to do is like what any business is trying to do, maintain attention span, keep you there longer so you can justify your ad rates. And they also know that you can convince and convert at faster rates using video. So when you see that I'm talking about convincing and converting at faster rates using video with a dating app, you can fill in all the naughty details there, all right? All right, so let's talk about how video fits into your social strategy and how this whole thing plays out. You know, back in episode 61, we discussed the topic of video promotion and how social media fits into the equation. And one of the key areas that kept coming up was how ineffective social media is as a source of traffic or views. And one of the key ideas that kept coming up in that episode was how ineffective social media really is as a source of traffic or even for views of your video. Now, that doesn't mean that social media isn't super valuable. Of course it is. That's a foregone conclusion. It's just that most marketers, for some crazy reason, aren't using it the right way. So today, I really want to take a step back and share how to use social video to grow your business in a meaningful way. All right. First thing I want you to do is I want you to think about creating one-to-one, human-to-human connections. These are relationship-based, and what they do is they build at scale. This is how I use it. Social media isn't about broadcasting. It's not like I'm going to do a show to the largest number of people. It's really about connecting, one-on-one, more human-to-human connections that you build, the more engaged your audience, your social audience becomes. And that means more shares and, of course, not only more word of mouth, but also more advocates that are going out, that are spreading the gospel of your message and sharing it with people that they root for. Social Media Examiner's weekly show on Friday mornings, you know, only a couple hundred people show up to watch that live, but those are by far the best fans and customers that Social Media Examiner has. And the easiest thing to do with a live platform is to do a live event where your audience can engage with you and then interact inside that video. Another good way to do this is to respond directly to questions from your target audience, like I did with Breast Cancer Answers. If you aren't familiar with Breast Cancer Answers, in 2011 or so, my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And because I created the first video medical encyclopedia on the internet and had 8,000 videos in it way back into the day, right around the time that YouTube was born, it kind of launched my video part of my career. When my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer, I already knew all the rock star doctors in the breast cancer space. So a way that I could give back to my stepmom, who candidly didn't want any help from me or any introductions, one of the ways that I could be valuable is to help educate women like her. Okay, so I just channeled my energy. And I started creating Breast Cancer Answers with my co-founder, Dr. Jay Harness, who's a past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, which I think means he's a big shot. And we created 1,400 videos that were all done when somebody in our audience would reach out to us and ask a question. You ask, we answer, right? That's the whole format. So we started in like 2011, and in year one, Dr. Harness and I created over 600 videos. We got to a point where we started off with a unscalable business model. You might have heard me talk about my appreciation for unscalable business models, where we were to answer people's questions, and then we would crank out videos, and every night Dr. Harness and I would connect up on Skype, and we would record his answers, and then that day we'd push him out, and then we'd send a link directly to that person who submitted in the question. Well, we got so much audience reaction that we ended up in year one getting 6.3 million video views and 700,000 followers. And at some point, we had that unscalable problem where I woke up on a morning and there were 80 new questions in my inbox that needed answers. And as that started to replicate, we got to the unscalable part where we said, whoop, now we have to change the model. People submit in the questions, and next time we record, we're going to answer the most common ones. And our audience was totally fine with that because we had created a really large library. Today is the largest library of breast cancer information. And somewhere around 7 million views in year two, my wife became the next breast cancer patient in the family. And it helped us because we already had all of that information at our fingertips. And now we were the ones asking the questions and we knew where to get the answers, right? That's a really powerful way to engage with your audience and to make it less of a broadcast and more of a two-way conversation, right? And audiences respond and gravitate to that really, really well. Now, the next thing you want to do is increase your audience reach. Social media algorithms are giving video preferential treatment because video is the big dog. And on platforms like Instagram and Facebook, they end up getting more time on the top of the page because people are spending more time on those videos. And so social media algorithms are giving video preferential treatment on platforms like Instagram and Facebook. So be sure to use video. It's always like three or four steps forward. You're going to get faster and better results. And especially live video to boost your engagement signals and improve your audience reach for future posts. You always want to give your audience the opportunity to ask questions. Hey, if you've got a question that you want answered during this live event, please submit it. And if it fits within the flow of the conversation, we're going to answer it. And when you do that, your audience feels like they have direct access. And the whole goal is human relationships, direct access, and providing value. People start gravitating towards it. And that's how you grow. Now, Facebook thinks in terms of affinity. So the more people that interact with your brand content, the more of it they're going to see. So social video is an opportunity to improve the exposure of all of your content, provided that you focus on that most important element, which we call H2H connection, which is human to human. So don't think about B2C or B2B. All of that in this context is kind of bullshit. Think about H2H. If you're making a human to human connection, you're going to be moving light years ahead. And this affinity that Facebook refers to, this affinity effect can also work against you if you share the wrong types of content. Avoid sharing directly promotional content in your social media platforms that use algorithms like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, as your engagement will be below average and it'll drive down your exposure and reach. Now, I want to unpack this for you for a second. I don't know if I've heard too many people explain this, but if you're doing something promotional or something that's marketing, you should not be posting it in your social feed because it's going to get really low engagement. And as a result, Facebook is going to downgrade, or these algorithm-based social networks are going to downgrade your other content because they're going to think that that's the value and the effectiveness. Instead, with anything that's promotional or marketing, you should run ads around them because it keeps those universes separated. And anything that you post in your social feed should be helpful in content and not marketing speak. I hope that helps. Now, the next thing you want to do is re-engaging the occasional stall out. You know, sometimes you'll reach people on social who don't pay attention to your emails or website anymore. Now, this presents a small but significant opportunity to engage those people who may have stalled out. So what I want you to do is keep in mind, this is a smaller and secondary benefit, not the reason to use social. You know, audience reach is too low to be a major to be a major efficiency driver, but it works well in the context of building those one-on-one connections. So if you're just posting information, if you're just posting, you're really doing a television broadcast. If you're posting and then encouraging people to submit in questions, and then you're real and you reply back and you engage, maybe you ask a follow-up question. Okay, yeah, I hear you. I know it's time-consuming, but that's how it's done. And that's why most companies need pros to do it, because they got other tasks that they have to do and other responsibilities, and they can't keep their eye on that ball. But it, really what you need to be doing is being real, be approachable, be interactive, answer questions, be helpful, and create H2H connections, all right? All right, so let me do a quick summary for you. The role of social video in your marketing strategy is really important. The first thing you need to do is create one-to-one H2H connections. These are relationships, and you build them at scale, okay? And that's a really valuable use of social media. The next thing you want to do is increase your audience reach. And the way you do that is you realize that these social media algorithms give video preferential treatment. Facebook's going to give you advanced placement if you use video. Social video is really an opportunity for you to improve exposure of all of the content. As long as you're doing an H2H connection, human to human, and as long as you're taking your promotional or your marketing content and you're moving it outside of your feed and you're putting it in the ad space and you're running ads with your promotional content and anything that's helpful, you keep in your regular feed. That's how you keep those universes. What do they say? You got to keep it separated. That's right. You got to keep that stuff separated. And the third thing you want to do is you want to re-engage the occasional stall out, because, you know, sometimes you reach people on social that are no longer paying attention. And when you start to ask questions and you encourage conversation, you're re-engaging your stalled out followers and you're bringing them back into the cycle of developing an H2H connection. All right, so if this episode was valuable to you, by all means, please go up and subscribe. There are three places that you can subscribe and we'll bring you the latest episodes. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, that's where it's going down. Make sure you subscribe. Every week, we push out a new episode, and you're starting to see now in your feed that you're getting in-between episodes of the Toddcast, and that'll be popping up as I have more time available in my schedule. But what I'm really trying to do, you boil this whole thing down, trying to create H2H connections with you So please, just like Bill Cooper did, reach out to me, email me, tweet things to me. I will see them. I'll put them in the podcast if they're relevant. And if you've got a question about video, about marketing, about how your business can sell more at faster rates and generate higher ROI, then please reach out to me. These are topics that I absolutely love to help guide and support people on. The show notes for this episode, you can get access to any of this information and the photos that I mentioned from our behind-the-scenes shoot where we pretended to be a stenographer this week. You can get access to those at wirebuzz.com/64. Now you're probably saying, Todd, what's an easy way to remember 64? Well, that one's actually easy. 64 is the election year where LBJ, right, President Johnson, ran against Barry Goldwater, and Goldwater lost in a landslide. But on the flip side, go to Terminal 4 here in Phoenix, Arizona at Sky Harbor, and sure enough, you'll see Barry Goldwater's reward for losing the 1964 election. His name is on the top of Terminal 4. Wirebuzz.com/64. Hey, a special shout out to Start a Biz Now, who wrote a really nice review titled Funky Cold Medina on iTunes about the Video Marketing Mastery podcast. I really appreciate it. Look, I read each and everything that gets posted. The reason I do that is I just want to be a better marketer. And if you tell me what I'm doing wrong or what I'm doing right, I take it to heart and I modify and perfect. And we continue each and every week with all of the big brains here at Wirebuzz to pull the most important news stories as it pertains to video marketing. And we put them into this podcast so each and every one of you can get up to speed. Now, if you want to learn how to start off and select the right video topics that are profitable for your business, we created a really smart topic selection worksheet. It's free to the listeners of this podcast, and you can get access to it by going to wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. All right, well, that's the episode for the week. My goal is always the same. When you sit down with your team, I want to make sure by listening to this podcast each and every week that you're evolving and growing your skills, that you recognize that this is probably the most rapidly evolving part of digital marketing. And so that's why it's that much more important to each and every week tune in, get the latest information, and understand how to apply it to your business so you can be a video marketing master.